Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for your wisdom this morning. I ask for peace and comfort. I ask you to open up all of our hearts. Let the message come from the Holy Spirit. Let it be received by open hearts. Let it be interpreted with each person here so that they may receive value and it'll be life-changing. It'll be comforting. They'll feel the light and the warmth of the love that exists because of your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. You know, this is a week. It was a hard week. Obviously, this is not the type of service I wanted to have today. But it's necessary we talk about hard things. You know, I've been talking and I've sent it out on the blog. I want to start collecting questions from all of you. The hardest questions you can think about your faith, about God, about the Bible. Whatever it is, it's time to address them. And I know one of the fears of that is, well, Kent, if we start addressing all these really tough questions, isn't the service going to get dark? And will it get down? And just the opposite. And the reason it won't get dark and down is because when you read this book, I've learned something through the many years I've been struggling and praying and reading and rereading and trying to figure things out, and through the help of God and the Holy Spirit, I'm getting a little ways in it. But one of the things I've noticed, there's three, maybe four, but there's three main things that happen from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Three main teachings. The big one, the one we love, is the teaching on grace and love. Grace and love, we're all welcome. We're all welcome to come. The second teaching is what I call the boundaries, the warning lessons in here. I put it, it helps us to, the warning lessons are there to help us thrive. And then there's the penalty verses. What happens if we just reject all this? And that's obviously none of us want to go there. But you have to understand, this is a complete three-dimensional, amazing movie. It's a piece of artwork. You can't just go and pick out certain things and then get the whole understanding of the Bible. You need to understand that there are teachings on grace, teaching on boundaries and the rules, and here's why, and teachings on penalties. And what I want to do today is I'm going to spend time on grace, because that's where I wanted to teach today anyway. But the method, or the message today on grace, has changed somewhat. Boy, when I wrote this, I must have wrote 100 pages when all this started shaking loose. I want to say first a little thing about Gary. Gary and Linda. Gary was very involved in almost all the Raise the Praise concerts. I don't know if he was here at the end singing because they moved, but Gary was here when PCF started. Gary was a guy, he loved to cook. He always had a smile. He wanted to be part of the chili cook-off. Let's do this, let's do that. He could play piano. He could sing. He could. He was always up for happy and laughter, and he was part of life. He was so into being, I want to be a part. What I've learned is that if I could go back, if I could go back in time, I'm sure I failed him in some ways. And I want this message to give hope and light. Because the one thing I can tell you is, just because you give your life to Jesus Christ doesn't mean you're going to walk and skip around every day with a daisy in your hand and think everything is beautiful and lovely and wonderful. Because if you think that, you're going to be very, very, very disappointed. What happened to Gary and many, many people who commit suicide is that you reach a point of darkness and pain that you can no longer stand. And that's sad. So the lesson today is going to be not only on God's grace, but our responsibility to God's grace. And I think it's a big, big, big responsibility. Here's what I know for sure. This book is good news. And it's good news for those who are deeply suffering. It's good news for those who are happy. It's good news for everyone who comes to the table of grace and will accept Jesus' love. But that is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Because all of us here, you know how I've said in the blog, this little church does so much good in the community. But the one thing we lack is the Great Commission, and that is to be Jesus out into the world and to foster people. Brad Joyner got me on that term, foster people into the spiritual family. Why? Because of what we're dealing with right now. People need a place to go when nothing else seems to be working. There's nobody in here that hasn't been through the darkness. It's just that sometimes the darkness gets so great and the pain so great, people don't know what to do with it. So, suicide. I will tell you, as I read the scriptures, and I studied on this, suicide is a sin. It is breaking the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. There's another verse I wrote down. It is, let me see if I've got it here. 1 Corinthians, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. It's a sin. The question is, and I want to deal with this. For a long time, there were a lot of churches that taught that if you committed suicide, you're going directly to hell. I researched that. I've got good news about that. Let me tell you how that got started. That got started in the 4th century with a guy named St. Augustine. He was a Catholic. And the reason that came up is because the Catholics believed that a priest had to administer last rites. There had to be forgiveness for all sins. Since suicide was a sin and a priest didn't administer last rites, there was no way for them to get in heaven. Well, that's not scriptural. It's not scriptural at all. And so now I think that's changing. I have family that are Catholic members, but I don't know. I think that's changed somewhat. But I have been online during this week, and I still hear preachers saying, you will go to hell if you commit suicide. I say baloney. Another thing that really disturbs me is there are some pastors and preachers that I've heard this past week, because I was trying to fill my heart, what do you do with this? How do you approach this? There are some people, not only pastors, Christians, who seem to get giddy when they talk about other people's sin, and they really get excited when they start condemning people to hell. Well, that person's going to hell. It's ridiculous. That's all up to God. Now I want to let's go to the next slide here. There's Gary. Love to fish. Loved, you know, he was a great guy. Let's go to the next slide and we'll come back to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a small sample of the verses on grace, and there's a whole bunch more. But I wanted to go through this, for it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works. There's nothing you can do to earn your grace into heaven so that nobody can boast. You can't be good enough. Let's go to the next one. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Let's go to the next one. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through the faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between the Jew, the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace. I'm going to tell you something. Shortly after this church started, Daniel came up to me and said, Kent, would you baptize me? I finally get it. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Well, just because he went through this darkness and decided to end it because of the pain, grace of God saves him. He's covered by God's grace. I told Linda when I was talking to her, I can guarantee you right now, Gary has been released from whatever demons he was facing. He is walking with Jesus now without the problems, without whatever it was inside of him that was eating him up. And you know, there's many things. There are many Christians who have done this because whether it be a brain tumor or a disease or a chemical imbalance or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, we are all prone to, we live in a sinful, broken world. But praise God, because of Jesus' sacrifice, grace is on us. If we accept Jesus, we are covered by grace. Gary was covered by grace. I baptized him. He wanted to do that. It was his choice. And if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, right now, today is the time. So another slide. I love this. How simple can it get? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Everyone. Is there another one up there? Mark believes, and or whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Not next. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And finally, we all know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's put, there's no more, I don't think. I think that's the last. Let's put Gary's picture back up while we finish. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if this is a good analogy. You know, those of us that are living blessed, and you know, we're all blessed, but there's different levels of blessing. You know, it's hard for us to imagine how can you get to a point where you would want to end it. But I want to tell you something. Back in 2001, 9-1-1, the towers. There were people that jumped out of the 100th floor. They didn't want to die, but they didn't want to face the pain. The pain was getting so great from the fire and the smoke, and Lord knows how terrible that was. They committed suicide. But it wasn't because they didn't want to live. They didn't. There was no choice. The pain was too great, and I believe that's what happens to people. And that is sad. It is just so sad. I'm going to read to you a scripture. I'm going to use this scripture today. I'm going to the book of Acts where Paul and Silas, they're out preaching. They're always getting in trouble by the Pharisees. You know, they're getting whipped. They're put in prison. In this particular case, they had gone into a town and they were preaching the gospel. And they had a... It says a slave girl had been following them around. And Paul got really annoyed with her, even though she was testifying, these men are the men of God. She just wouldn't shut up, basically. She just followed them everywhere. And Paul, because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, knew she was filled with an evil spirit. So essentially what happened is he demanded the spirit to come out of her, and then he got in really big trouble because since she was a slave, her owner was making a lot of money from her because she was like a fortune teller. And she would do this, you know, witchcraft thing or whatever. And Paul cast that spirit out of her. And so it ends up that Paul and Silas get put in jail. And then this is what's happening. It says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they were being whipped, he and Silas, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. It was the worst of the worst to be in the inner prison. You know, it stank, it's cold, it's dark, it's hot, it's nasty. They're shackled. They've just been beaten. It's miserable. Now, that's where they are, and their feet and their hands are all in these stocks. They can't move. It just had to be horrible. But it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Here they are in the worst of the worst, not knowing, are they going to get stoned the next day? Are they going to be executed, you know, crucified? Who knows? And there they are. They're in this dank, nasty, hot prison, and they're singing. It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains fell off. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and he was about to commit suicide. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then the guard called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He saw this miracle. It says, so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in that prisoner. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now the prison guard is cleaning them up, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set before them a meal, and they rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Let me tell you something that this spoke to me about this scripture here. Your chains, and we all have them. Gary had chains on him from the inside. Your chains, if you're not careful and if you're not praising and staying close to God, can break your praise. But this beautiful verse says your praise can break your chains. And that ain't easy. Because when you're suffering, the last thing you probably want to do is pray and sing psalms to God and be worshiping Him. But that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. When the worst of the worst of the worst, they're in pain, they're suffering, they're afraid, they start singing hymns to God and singing out and glorifying God and praying to God and worshiping out loud. Your praise can break the chains, or your chains can break your praise. It's possible. Isn't God supposed to be almighty? Absolutely. But we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world where it says that if you're not careful, the devil is like a roaring lion, and he's there to pounce on whoever he can who's not filled with his praise. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I will tell you, he's after every Christian. He's after every Christian. Jesus gave us this command that we are to go into all the world and bring His light to people, the truth to people. And I think when we go through something like this, we realize just how important that message is to foster people into the kingdom of God and be there when you know that from inside the chains are weighing them down and they're lost and they're afraid. I'm not going to do this, but I bet if I ask how many people in here have known, other than Gary, someone who has come this close to suicide, whether it be you or a family member or a friend, I bet most our hands would go up. When I was studying for this, millennials right now, the second people ages from 15 to 35, the second greatest cause of death in millennials is suicide, next to auto accidents. Suicide rates in this country are up 30% since 1999. Why? People lose hope and they're in pain and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with their pain. And some of them, I'm sure, have cried out to God and still have not been relieved from their pain. What they need is they need Jesus to sit down next to them and walk them through and be there and say, "Listen, I'm staying with you no matter what." Well, where is Jesus? You are Jesus. I am Jesus. When you become a Christian and you give your life to Jesus Christ, we are His hands, His feet, His mouth, His ears. It's up to us. We have a huge responsibility. A huge responsibility. But what's happened to our society today? Here's the biggest issue I can see. Because I'm always thinking about God, the gospel, and how can we reach more people, people who are suffering. People who suffer today, they suffer in silence. Why is that? Society, the peer pressure of society. We're not supposed to look weak or broken. No, we have to have everything all figured out. I know stuff. I'm important. I'm this, I'm that. I hope your life is half as good as you pretend it is on Facebook. We have so many deep issues. And we need each other. We need each other. How many times, you know, it's sad, but even Christians, you get together even with Christians' friends, how many times do you sit down and go, man, I'm going through this. What would God say? No one talks like that. Why? Well, it would make us look weak. We don't want to, you know, that's dirty underwear out there. I don't want to go there. I just want to keep it inside. And so we start withering and we start dying a slow death. The Golden Gate Bridge in California, built in the 30s. Amazing engineering marvel. Over a mile long, higher than the arch. But it has another, I don't know what you want to call it, notation. It's the second most popular place in the world for suicide. Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. There's a bridge in China that surpasses it. There was a note found. They find stuff there all the time because so many people. They're in the process now of putting up a net. So people, if they jump, it's going to save them. I don't know where they're at in the process. But they finally figured out after all these years, maybe we should do something. They found a note on the bridge. And the note read, I'm on my way to end my life. There is no hope. I find the pain and the suffering overwhelming. But if one person will look at me when I'm on my way to the bridge today, will look at me and smile, I will not jump. They jump. You know, I think we can't take full responsibility for anything. I reached out to Gary last week. I texted him because he and Linda were both ill from this cruise. He never responded. And now, you know, I think, should I have called him? Should I have done? You know, you can go on and on with that. But what I want to do is learn from this. Sometimes all it takes is a smile, a phone call. I put your arm around somebody. Say, are you okay? Are you okay? And then open it up. We have to stop pretending that we have it all together. Because we don't. I don't. I doubt if you do. But this, I'm going to tell you something. The more I read and study this, is it real? And the reason I know absolutely it's real and it's true is because I'm 62 now, and it's taken me a long time. But because of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and His wisdom, but the Holy Spirit within me, I've changed. Right? It's not, I wish I could say it's different because I don't want to do the rhyme, but I don't know how to come up with a different word. It's not about perfection, Christianity. It's not about perfection. It's about your direction. And what I've learned in my life is that there was a time where I was very critical of people. I was quick to tell what's wrong with anybody and all that person, that and that. The older I get, what I've known that the Holy Spirit has done, He's softened my heart, where I love everybody. And I want to learn how to love more. And I want to know how to help more. But if you become a Christian or if you've been in Christianity and you still find that you have a hardened heart or that you still can't forgive some things or whatever, if you're stuck, you need to go to God and pray to Him because He still needs to work on you. And that's what sanctification is all about. When we become a Christian, we start with, we don't know anything, but through life, if we stay with it, He will empower us and fill us with love. Here's what I know. I'm way more full of love and compassion and forgiveness and kindness towards others. And I still have a long way to go. Do I ever get angry? Absolutely. But it's not nearly like even when Bonnie first met me. I've changed. I don't know. Have you noticed change? I hope. Don't answer that. Gary, I pray that right now you are dancing. I'll bet if you could come here right now, if God will allow that, I'm going to tell you, I just know what Gary would say. Oh, he'd say, it's real. It's real. I'm sorry, and it's real. You cannot not imagine what this is like. Now, I will tell you something. Suicide is serious. It's not an escape. It is a sin. God gave us this gift. There is always hope. But we need to be there for one another. And we need to be able to reach one another and talk to one another and pray with one another. So we're going to come to the table of grace today. I want you to think of Gary and think of Linda and all of Gary's friends. Brad Hartert was one of Gary's best friends. I'm sure he can tell you a bunch of stories about Gary. I'm not going to try to figure out what went wrong. All I know is he had more pain than he could stand. I just don't want anybody ever that I know to go through that. I want people to say, yeah, I'll call you. I'll be there. And I will be there. And I want you all to be that way. I want you all to say, yes, I'm in. I will help you. I will hold your hand. I will talk with you. Whatever it takes, I will be there. Because life is too precious. Can I have our communion servers join me up here? And we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have this side come down this way. This side come down this aisle. We have cups of the grape juice. Or you can take a piece of bread and just dip it, whatever you want. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, which represented his body, and said, this is my body broken for you. This is what grace is all about. I am going to give up my life. I'm going to let the world punish me and crucify me so that you never have to go through that. And he said, I want you every time you take of the bread to remember that. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for all of you. It's the blood of a brand new covenant. It's the covenant of grace. Those of you that accept me, believe in me, partake of the elements, the blood and the bread, the body. This is for you. That there is hope. There is life everlasting. And it's for all of us to become a family and to love one another. So I ask you now to come, for all things are prepared. In Jesus' name.